Professor Jason hasn't replied.
Well, I know that he's traveling again this week. I think he's out of town.
Okay.
For a conference. Okay. So let's start our discussion.
Okay.
So today I want to discuss the the experiment I did. Last time we talked about the rate experiment and the average response time with different rate, and there was also this other experiment with Ariel that was to send sequential requests with bigger request times. So for the sequential one, which I think is the easiest, it turns out that it's exactly the same. There's no variation. I mean, it's always the same range of response time. Of course, a little bit higher. I tried with the request size of 64K, and I tried 100,000 requests, which come up 6 gigs. And one thing which was interesting is that the throughput went up really, really high. Now it's, before it was 40 megs per second, now it's over 100, something like 112 megabytes per second. Right. So it was really fast. Also, it was 6 gigabytes to write. It finished the experiment in 1 minute.
All sequential.
All sequential. With request size of 64K.
And this is for all the disks? Or?
No, this is just for memory. I know that for some disks, even sequential, at some point the latency goes up. Yeah, it was just for memory.
Okay.
Yeah.
So do you plan to do it for the Samsung and the SanDisk?
I can do it for the Samsung if that happens. But I remember the problem with this assignment was that there was no high latency, so it was suspicious in the sense that it seems like the memory internal is not doing any rate, right? And we couldn't keep the rate so quickly so that we keep the cleaning mechanism. That was cool. Also, I was thinking, even I'm doing sequential, right? So I would think that the cleaning overhead is really low, and if you're only doing switch magic. And but at some point you have to erase it. I don't know.
So since it's so fast experiment, maybe you can do it for even longer period of time. Because it may be possible that the log blocks are really in memorite or over provisioned.
Let's do it for me. I will write the whole thing.
Write the whole thing and
see what happens.
Yeah.
With,
to see if there is any change in the bandwidth at all.
I was trying with 512K.
I think you can maintain 64K, and you can also try 512K if you want.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the key is to find out if the erase efficiency is so good, really, or not, by writing the entire disk.
Okay.
Because we don't know how much the memory write is over-provisioned internally. Right. What is the size of that disk?
64.
So 5 gigabytes is less than 10% of that.
No, it's 6 gigabytes.
6 gigabytes.
Actually, it's more than 10 because it's 6.5 gigabytes. It'll be more than 6 gigabytes.
Okay. So it's around 10%.
Yeah. One thing I have never understood is that, we opened the device, right? we'll see that there are 8 batch packets. So if it's 64 gigs, you can think of each package as being 8 gigs. So I was thinking, where is the over provisioning part of it?
I think it's not a separate chip, but instead it's part of, I think it's 16 storage packages or just 8?
8.
Is it 8 per size?
8
per size or 8 in total?
Probably you're right, yeah. Probably
8 on,
eight per size.
On each side.
Yeah.
So you have, and this over provisioning, I think it's taken from the same amount of, the total amount of space that you have available. In the 8 or 16 packages.
So what you're saying is that, let's say that it's 8 in total, okay? Making 8 gigabytes each package. So what you're saying is that each package will have more than 8 gigabytes?
No, we'll have the same 8 gigabytes, but in fact the formatted capacity or the capacity that the device will report to the OS will be just smaller.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what happens. Were you able to confirm the size that you have available versus the specified size of what we should expect?
No, I didn't check that. There was also this other thing in the data sheet of the flash packets that I didn't understand very well. And there is some over provision in the flash packet itself. So I was thinking it could be that the flash package builder already provides over provision for a single flash package.
I'm not sure if that's I've never read something that in this text that says that you have this amount extra
mm-hmm.
space.
Yeah.
We know that there's this extra byte for per page,
okay.
But that is for a different purpose, not for data.
Yeah,
so. I think then the spec becomes too complex, right? If you over-provision within a chip, then our package, then you have to also specify what is the amount that is over-provisioned. And over-provisioning within a single chip means that the chip is all automatically doing some internal management, which we know cannot be true.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is no intelligence inside the flash.
No, I'm not saying that the flash chip already have a controller inside. What I'm saying is that they only provide that, and the controller VSD has access to that additional space, that package.
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, we say I have this flash package with the over provisioning space of 256 megs, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
And so, if the flash package is 2 gigs, then you're able to access 2 gigs and plus 256 megs.
I see.
But the problem with that assumption is that you will have a fixed amount of over provisioning in the SSD, right? So if some SSD factory decides to add more, like in the case of the Intel, right? They decide to add more over provisioning, then you're restricting that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's very hard to know for sure about these things, right? And even if the flash chip over-provisioned, it does not mean that the FTL is going to use that over-provisioning or how it is going to use the over-provisioning.
Right.
If all of that intelligence is in the software and that is closed, we cannot find out what's going on.
Right.
But we can assume that there is some over-provisioning at the FTL layer, right? So I think that's a reasonable assumption. It's especially if the FTL implements some logging mechanism for it.
Yeah, but then where is this our provision coming from? Because we don't have more fast records.
It's true. So maybe the over provisioning is reflected in the size that is exported to the operating system. So you might want to find out what size is exported to the operating system. I mean, if you have a 64 gigabytes and then you see that the actual size is only 62 or 61 or something like that, then maybe it means that the over provisioning is whatever, 5% of the.
Okay. Let's try that.
Yeah. Might want to check that.
Mm-hmm.
So what you're saying at this point is that scaling linearly as you, the performance scaling linearly as you increase the size, or?
So
you started with 4K.
I started with 4K, so it was 4 megabytes per second. And then
4 megabytes per second.
40 megabytes per second.
And then you did 64, which is 16 times.
Okay.
And the bandwidth became?
112.
So the bandwidth did not scale linearly. The bandwidth...
no, I don't think so, because at some point it has to have a link.
So which means that the latencies are not linear, so there is some overhead component that's a bottleneck. That if I can get a certain bandwidth using 4K, and the throughput is not the bottleneck, or the speed at which you can write to the flash is not the bottleneck, then I should get linear scaling performance as I increase the size of the request, which doesn't happen in this case. So the latencies actually have to be much higher. Otherwise the bandwidth and latency numbers do not match.
I'm trying to think what can be the overhead. It's only the overhead can be the serial K.
Could be that, or it could be the writing of inside the flash itself. Because the serial AT is something which should be scaling very well.
No, in fact, you're right. I think I have seen papers with people report probably 200 megabytes per second for flash with serial AT. So I don't know exactly what. Because there are two CRTA, right? CRTA1 and 2. So the second one is 3 gigabits per second. And the first one is 1.5 gigabits.
So it would be good to find out what the bottleneck is, if it's the flash medium or the bus. Because certainly there is a bottleneck, because the performance is not scaling at the same rate. So I would expect then the latencies also to be much higher when you compare the 4K with the 64K. Because the latencies have to bridge the gap of that extra. So if the latency remains the same, or it scales in the same way, then the bandwidth should also scale in the same way. No, that's right. So you say that you get 40 megabytes per second with 4K and 120 megabytes?
12.
Okay, let's assume it's 120, so we get a factor of 3 there.
Mm-hmm.
So certainly performance is improving, right? So the bandwidth is improving before. But it is not improving by a factor of 16, so the latencies cannot be the same. For the latencies to be exactly the same as the 4K, the bandwidth should be 16 times higher. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because your request size is 16 times higher.
Mm-hmm.
Break it up even more. So you have a certain latency with 4K. Now that latency has two components, right? One is the command transfer component.
Okay.
Second is the transfer of data inside the SSD, and the third is the transfer of data over the bus. Right? Actually, in this case, in some sense reverse, because you're doing write. So first you transfer data over the bus, then you transfer data over inside the medium, and then you get some sort of response acknowledgement. Right. So these are the three components of the latency. Now, the first two components may be pipelined. So you send some data. Is pipelining possible? Not clear. Not clear if pipelining is possible, but there is a okay. Let's keep it simple and assume that you cannot pipeline the transfer of data from the host to the SSD and inside the SSD to the medium. Right. So you first transfer to SSD and then subsequently, after the complete transfer is over, you write to the medium. So then there are two transfer components. One is over the bus and the other is inside the SSD. And then there is some sort of control component which after the request is written. Now, assuming that the buffer is completely filled up, okay, so in the steady state, so that you cannot report response after committing to buffer without having to flush something. Okay, so if we assume steady state, so then the latencies are the way I described. So there is transfer over the bus, transfer inside the SSD, the same amount of data, and then response. Now, the bus could be the bottleneck. The medium, the transfer inside the medium could be bottleneck. It is unlikely that both are becoming bottleneck at exactly the same request size or at the same rate. One is most likely to become a bottleneck before the other. So what do we know about transfer rates inside the medium? A page write takes 200 microseconds, right? 2K or 4K? I guess 2K.
Is that more right? I think 2K.
It's either way. I mean, it's always 200 microseconds for a page write, but in some cases 2K and in some other cases 4K.
So is it SMC
in
MLC?
Case of, I don't think that's a difference, because I know that SanDisk is MLC, but it has a page type of 2K.
Mm-hmm.
And the memory has a 4K page. Also, it's SSD.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So let's say that it's 4K at the rate of 200 microseconds per page, right? How much is that rate? And we have to take into account that there is also intervening erase operations, although we are not sure if this experiment actually led to any erases, because you wrote only to a part of the SSD. So even if we assume that no erase occurred, right, the rate at which we are writing to the SSD is 4K every 200 microseconds, or 20K every millisecond, or 20 megabytes per second. That's interesting. We are writing way faster than that. So, something is wrong. I don't know what is wrong. But
how about the interleaving operations? and parallelism that potentially may happen at 64K chunks.
That's true.
I mean,
so, yeah.
Potentially, if we, especially for memory, right, if it's got 16 flash packages, then 64K, assuming 4K page size, can span the entire device.
And
that might not be happening.
It's more than that, because within each chip, you can potentially write program in parallel on different planes, right?
Right.
So if you lower the plane register and then you write, you can do that in parallel. So.
So the latency, it's I think it makes the, like I think we discussed this in the past, right? We have these two latencies that you described, and then this third, the actual write of the data into the device, which may be happening in parallel.
Okay.
And the other ones might be become the bottleneck way before, I mean, the device is easy enough.
Except when you have intervening erase operation requirements.
Mm-hmm.
So if there is an erase, you need to erase, in this case, the best case scenario, because you're writing sequentially, correct? Meaning that you can write an entire block and then erase that block and write the next block and so on. So, if, do we know the size of the block from the memory?
Yeah, we know. I think it's 256K.
256K.
Because of shared erase.
So if it's 256K, then and your block erase takes 1.5 milliseconds.
Yeah.
Something like that. And this 256K is a logical block or a physical block?
It's a physical block.
It's a physical block?
Yeah, because in the data.
And
at this
we
point, you don't know about logical.
Because we did some experiments where we found the logical block size,
right,
by increasing the size of the request.
You mean by
in the
by logical block size, you mean the request size at best the form? Yeah, we did some time ago.
I think it's in the paper, perhaps.
And it was.
The paper
that we are writing.
Oh, right now?
Yeah.
I
think we had some experiment for the right, for the erase block size.
Yeah, yeah, I think so.
Okay, so do you, let me see if I have access to that. We found that 4 megabytes. I'm sure if we have something for the SanDisk. Here it's 8 megabytes.
Mm-hmm. Memorize.
Say it's
2 megabytes.
2 megabytes. It is 256 times 16? No. 256 times 8. how many chips are there? 16 chips?
I think so.
Okay, so I guess I'm just trying to figure out how the striping is being set up. So you have 256K physical block sizes and 2 megabyte logical block sizes.
So throughput?
Yeah, just throughput.
120.
Is that it right, throughput?
Yeah, I think it's right.
That's a good question. Yeah, it is. The 64K is only this. Where the experiment I did here was a lot higher.
Let me see what. So here there's only 20 megabytes per second. And then here it is.
Oh, but this is sequential. I'm guessing that one is.
And this one is random?
It's random.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, of course. Should be random.
Yeah. This one is random. But with random, you got substantially lower bandwidth, right? With 4K, you didn't get 20 megabytes per second.
No, but it's not 4K, it's 64.
Oh, this is 64.
So 4K somewhere here.
Yes, okay. Okay, yeah, it's random averages. Now, one concern about this experiment is because the bandwidth is so high, we do not know if the limiting factor is the bus or the actual erase operation. Right? Either one could be the bottleneck. I think therefore it's important to find out what is the limitations of the bus. See where the bottleneck might be introduced.
Yeah, but things that I think that is close. We can find it. By opening the device, I think we can only find about the flash packets and controllers and so on.
No, I'm talking about the serial ATA.
The interface.
The serial ATA.
Yeah.
Whether we are using SATA 1 or SATA 2.
Yeah, I can try that, but I think that shouldn't be a problem. I don't think that's a problem.
At 120 megabytes per second.
Yeah.
Okay, well let's find that out. If not, then I think the logical block size that we come up with here is reasonable.
But then with that logical block size, what is the bottleneck in that case? Let's say that that is not a serial game. Okay, here it says that that flash drive can transfer data at up to 200 megabytes.
With that interface?
With a serial ATA 1.5 gigabits.
So there was this in the experiment for the flash profiling paper from Sigmetrics. They have this graph where they do the same experiment, but they put the sequential and the random on the same graph, and they show where they match. Actually, that is the logical block, right? There, the assumption is that when you're doing random writes or sequential writes in the granularity of full blocks, then it doesn't matter whether you do sequential or random, because the efficiency of the flash is exactly the same. because you write the entire block, you erase the entire block, and then you write the next block and you erase the next block.
I don't quite remember that experiment.
So the experiment, what they did was, they had exactly the same graph as this one, which is the random, but they overlapped a sequential for this pattern, access pattern, and did the same graph. And then, so the sequential access pattern going something like this.
Increase
much faster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I think that was a community distribution. Was not exactly the same.
I think it was pretty much the same thing.
I remember one experiment where they increased the randomness of the workload. And that they did for reads and writes, and and they were able to discover that those devices with caches built in would perform almost, would be almost immune to the randomness in the workload.
This paper or a different paper? So you also remember seeing that, Lewis?
Yeah.
Where they had the merge of these two graphs?
Yeah, I remember. Probably
something more here.
Yeah. I think it's this one problem. To read some write.
This is interference.
Interference.
This is cache.
This is CDF or
write operation, and this is CDF. Mm-hmm. This is CDF. It's a different paper altogether.
It has a maximum bandwidth of 150 megahertz.
Which one?
CLK1.
150? Mm-hmm. So 150 megabytes per second would be, when you're continuously transferring, you can get that. But if you have command overheads,
very slower.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm calculating 1.2 because they already measured the overhead.
Mm-hmm.
So of course the overhead will vary depending on the workload. Right? They're saying that they haven't spoon coded. I don't know what that means. Transfer rate of 1.2 gigabits per second.
Mm-hmm.
They're calling the encoding overhead.
So we don't have serial ATA2, right? We have SATA 1?
I don't know.
Okay.
Probably we have SATA 2, but I have to check that.
Okay. Why don't we check that later on, and then we can,
okay,
we can think about this some more. Okay.
I have also here the numbers of the response time for the experiment, so probably that will help in analyzing this. So okay, so for 4K, sequential write of 4K, it's, the response time, the average is 0.1 milliseconds. For 16K, is 18 milliseconds. 0.18 milliseconds.
Mm-hmm. So it's just less than twice.
Less than twice.
Less than twice for 16K, okay. And then 64?
And 64 is 0.5 milliseconds.
0.5. So it is 5 times.
5 times 4K.
Mm. And the C to D is always 0?
C to D, in the case of, actually the C to D increase with the size of the request, exactly why.
Mm.
But that's the, for 4K is 36 microseconds, for 16K is 40 microseconds, and for 64K is 78 microseconds.
Is that a linear increase? Is that proportional to the size?
The size? No, I don't think so. Because also, so the 4K is 36 microseconds, in the 16K, which is 4 more, should be 120 microseconds, it's just 4
microseconds. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So our goal was to find out if our initial experiment was what? I mean, can you remind me what was the goal of the initial experiment?
So I guess the idea was to see how was the sustained write in the SSD, right? So the problem was that in the case of the memory, all the response time was less than 0.1 milliseconds. So there was suspicions because it seems like we never have any operation.
Or even write operation, because even write operation...
Or even write operation, exactly. To a real media, right?
Mm.
So that's why we came up with a new plan of increasing... increasing the request size and drive a larger number of.
And it seems that even in this case, even with a larger request size, we're still not hitting the right latency. We are much smaller than the right latency.
Yeah.
That's very. Well, actually.
No, actually.
Probably not. If you're doing it in parallel, then.
In parallel. Yeah.
Then it might be that we are hitting the right latency. In the case of 4K, could it be that the request is again getting split into smaller chunks?
Yeah.
And you program only small part of the page. But I guess you cannot do sub-page writes. Can you do sub-page writes?
Well, if you do merging, you can. I mean, you can read the whole page.
Yes, you can do that, but you still have to write the whole page again.
That's true.
The question is, can you do sub-page writes without incurring full page write latency? Because that would explain 4K latencies being smaller than full page write latency. And because you would anticipate that 4K should read to a full page write. At least one full page write, not more than one, if it's split up. But if you can do sub page writes inside the flash, you can write just 512 bytes. Then maybe you spend only 50 microseconds to do 512 or even less. So if you're taking 200 microseconds to write 4K and you're allowed to write half of that, let's say 2K, then you can write that perhaps twice as fast. And then if you do that in parallel, then you have 100 microsecond latency. But it's not clear whether you can do sub-page writes or not. I was reading somewhere that some flash devices do support sub-page writes.
Probably wrong.
You mean the partial write?
Partial write.
Well, this particular chip, I think, does support that operation.
Yeah, but that's true as long as the page is clean. I guess
when
that
the page is clean.
If the page is not clean, then you cannot do sub-page
write. Yeah. But I guess the scenario is that we want to write this 4K in parallel. Right, and we want to take advantage of this partial write operations. Assuming it's supported, then your 4K will be parallelized, and then the total glass time would be
smaller than, yeah.
Maybe higher than that, but I mean, around half the time.
Yeah, and if you can divide further subdivide it even more, then it's going to be lower than that.
Right.
So. I do see that you cannot overwrite the same subpage.
Mm-hmm.
You have to write it to a clean subpage. But does it mean that the entire page has to be clean or just the subpage has to be clean?
No, just the subpage.
But that's always the case, right? I mean, even if you're writing a full page, you can write at 200 microseconds only if the page is clean. Because you're always assuming that you're logging to a new portion of the flash.
Mm-hmm.
So that is true even for page writes.
I think there's a constraint that when you start doing this partial write, you start from, let's say, byte zero in the page, and you have to continuously or sequentially write into the page, let's say, the first 512 bytes. And then you need to continue from the next byte that's available. And you do so up to a fixed number of times. I think it's 4, no more than that. That's the extra.
There is also another thing that is, I think the interface that is supported by the CRTA, by the flash package, is, I mean, the write and read units in pages, right? So if that is true, how can you write onto sub-page, right?
No, the interface is a block interface.
Yeah.
It's a block interface, so you can write 512 byte granularity.
No, but I'm not talking about the CRTA.
Uh-huh.
I'm talking about the flash package interface.
The flash chip.
Yeah.
Flash chip, yeah. So, I guess the point is, can you do sub-page writes with that interface, with the chip interface? Because if you can, then the FTL will employ that.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make sense for the FTL to write entire page when it doesn't have to, if the chip supports sub-page writes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I was reading long time back somewhere that with some chips you can do sub-page writes,
mm-hmm.
if you're doing those sequential writes.
Mm-hmm.
Now that would
random.
Be, yeah, if it's not random. But it would be good to, and I think this was one of our very initial discussions where we were talking about this, right?
I think it's also highlighted in the design results of SSDs,
mm-hmm.
first paper.
Yeah.
SSDs. And it's also described in some of the specs. It's true that not all the flash packages, flash chips support this operation. Now, I guess the real question is whether these vendor memo writes will take advantage of that and will use it in practice. To subdivide 4K into smaller granularities.
But I see that doing such thing has a huge problem, and that is the mapping, right? So now, by doing that, you double the mapping size, map size.
Not necessarily. I mean, if you have a static mapping to say that, these group of four planes, I'm going to stripe across. And a page is constitutes of subpage in plane 1, subpage in plane 2, and so on, then you only need to maintain the relative position within the plane for one plane. And you automatically know the positions. You can compute the position for the other planes. You don't have to maintain the mapping for all. if it's a static mapping.
Mm-hmm.
But if some portions of the mapping are static, for instance, how the striping is done is always the same,
mm-hmm.
then you don't need to keep that sub-page level mapping information.
Right. But then, you increase the cleaning power.
Maybe or maybe not, because if you can read these pages in parallel, you can argue that my cleaning is going to be more efficient because I can read in parallel and potentially write in parallel to clean or merge a block or something like that.
Yeah, but at some point you need to erase blocks.
So you erase after much longer period of time each block, because all the data that's being written is striped across, so you can write much more before you need to erase a single block.
So then what you have to erase is a logical block.
It's a logical block in some sense, yes.
So you have to erase a bunch of blocks.
Yeah, you have to erase a bunch of physical blocks at once.
To which can be easy because you can do it parallel.
So it might very well be the case that the sub-page writing is being employed. Otherwise, the specs do not make correspond with the data that we have right now. Correct?
Mm-hmm.
That's true, because our latencies are less than 100 microseconds for full page writing. Mm-hmm. That is one explanation. There may be some other explanation why we are seeing these low latencies. The other is that even when we increase the size of the request, the latencies, in fact, are even more efficient. I mean, the writes are becoming even more efficient than before, right? Because if we are writing 4K, our latencies are 0.1 microsecond. If we are writing 16K, it's only 0.18 microsecond. We wrote four times as much, but the latency only increased by less than two times.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess the only explanation is that now the striping is even bigger. So I'm doing more things in parallel. That's why I'm becoming more efficient. So for the same amount of time, I'm writing much larger amount of data when I'm writing 16K when compared to 4K. Or when I'm writing 64K when I'm comparing.
Yeah, but at the same time, there's also another where I don't know exactly, it could be something a boss problem, but there is also, because if it's, I mean, if you only increase the parallelism, right, you will continue to have exactly the same response time.
The latency should be pretty much the same,
right?
But there may be some extra latency because of the control operations. There may be delays in control, things like that.
Could be something about the box.
Could also be because of the data transfer. If there is a limitation in the parallelism on of data transfer on the bus.
Mm-hmm.
So those are some of the possibilities. And certainly we are getting more and more efficient, because when we wrote 64K,
mm-hmm.
is it 16 times 4 latency?
Yeah.
No, actually.
No.
It's not, right? Because you said that 64K was 0.5 microseconds, milliseconds, right? Whereas 16K was 0.18. And 4 times that would should be close to 80 or 70. So there's still efficiency improvement when we move from 16 to 64.
Yeah, well, I guess the efficiency can be seen in the group, right? So in the first case, it's 40. In the second case, in the 16K case, was 80 megabytes per second. And the third one was almost 120.
So, I mean, but the funny thing is that if you look at this curve, the sequential throughput reaches 120 at 64 itself, right? It's here.
Mm-hmm.
And then we don't know. We don't have data for higher than 64.
No.
Sequential. So we don't know if this is going to keep going up or it's going to match with this. Because our theory is that the sequential and random throughput should match when we reach logical size. I've seen that graph somewhere. I thought it was in this paper, but it's probably in some other paper that I read.
Probably it's in the Mascot's paper.
Yes, the papers that you guys did.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that paper was reasonable.
Yeah, I didn't like it.
Okay, anyway, that's maybe a discussion.
It's a different discussion, yeah.
Yeah.
I think, well, there were two points, right? One was the comments, and the other one was the kind of the attitude of the writing.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
I think
definitely with the second one, there are many improvements. But
yeah.
For the points, I think we made the thing, so, yeah, we can discuss.
We should discuss at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Probably also discuss this paper once.
Yeah.
We should.
Maybe we can do it on Thursday.
Okay.
As a mini paper club.
Just, but maybe Jason wants to be here. Should be here as well.
So
next week we should probably have
it.
Okay.
Anyway, so so we don't know if that goes up.
Yeah. So certainly try with larger request size, and if the experiment is really fast, that's good. So you can do this really quickly. And try the other SSDs also. The good thing is that we already have the random curve.
Mm-hmm.
So we just get the sequential curve and validate the experiment that those guys did, if it makes sense in our devices or not. Okay, so the other experiment that I don't know if you had a chance to do, the rate actually, changing the rate of writing.
All right, have the numbers for that as well.
I have a quick comment just before we move on to the next one. I'm trying to find a logic between this rates of throughput when you go from 4K to 64K. And doing a match with the logical block size we found some time ago, which is 2 megabytes approximately. And trying to subdivide this 2 megabytes into the 16 flash packages we have, and subsequently into the dies, planes, and so forth. I mentally came up with a number of 4, that we would actually be paying 4 times the actual write of a single 4K page. I'm not sure if it's correct, so I would like to throw just like the tree of how
sure.
I subdivide it. Kind of quickly.
You can go ahead and
rate size. Yeah.
Rate
medium. So we have this like 2 megabytes of data at the root, which is the logical block of the device. Right.
So that 2 megabytes is based on this graph, right?
On
this graph.
And that graph, I think. Yeah.
Memorized. Okay.
Yeah, that's for memorized. So we know that this is going to be divided in flash package 1, so 4, till 16.
Mm-hmm.
So each one of them will receive, we said, 128K.
Mm-hmm.
And let's say this one subsequently is going to be divided into, we know this device, let's assume it has 2 dies, which I think is the case for the
effect.
I think it's going to be, let's say, die 1, die 2. Each one 64.
Mm-hmm.
And then we know that there are 4 planes, 2 planes in each die. So let's say we're going to symbolize
16.
P1, 64, and each one is going to be 61.
Right.
And in a plane, we know we have only blocks.
Right.
And so this is the equivalent of
one physical block.
Right, but it's 4 times the physical page.
Yeah.
So this is actually the time that we need to write sequentially because it's going to a single block, whether it's a data block or a log block. Let's say it's a log block. So in writing this 2 megabytes, we are actually writing or paying the price for writing 4 pages sequentially, assuming that everything else in the tree is going to happen concurrently.
The assumption here is that the logical blocks are distributed, the log blocks are distributed equally across all the planes and dice.
Correct. There's
so
like a pool per plane.
Per plane.
And there's no single, let's say, log block for the entire device that's active at a single point of dice.
Mm-hmm.
If that's the case, then
that would be
4 times the write of that'll be 800 microseconds.
Well, I mean, you have to write in 2 megabytes, we're saying that it's taken for a call to 800 microseconds.
Yeah. Right. But we don't know the data for 2 megabytes. I mean,
we don't have the data for 2 megabytes, but in some sense we have throughput for 2 megabytes.
Mm-hmm.
So we can just invert that and find the latency.
But the thing is, that 800 microseconds, oh, it's 1 millisecond. So that means that it's close to 200 megabytes.
See, this is 120 megabytes per second for a random write. If we assume that the sequential and random write should be exactly the same at the logical block size of 2 megabytes, then we can argue that maybe it's the same latency as 120 megabytes per second, which is, then our latency is 2 megabytes divided by 120 megabytes per second. That is the latency, which is, how much is that? 200 divided by 12?
Why
200 divided by 12 is 84. Yeah. So 17. That's 200 divided by 12 is 17. Say 2000 divided by
80.
No, it's
1.7 is the latency that we should get when we write 2 megabytes at 120 megabytes per second. And that's the latency for the 2 megabyte writes over there. So 1.7 milliseconds does not correspond to 800 microseconds. So it's a bit twice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
twice as much.
But that, I mean, you also, in that 1.7 milliseconds, which you also include the box overhead and the common overhead.
That's true.
So on.
That's a good point. In fact, if the efficiency of the of writing to the flash becomes very, very good, then the bus overhead can dominate.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And we know that if we assume that it takes, you can transfer at the rate of 200 megabytes per second. So for SATA 1?
For SATA 1 was 150.
150 megabytes per second. So that's approximately the same. So if it's 150 megabytes per second, 200 divided by 15 is approximately 1.3 milliseconds.
Mm-hmm.
So if we assume that 1.3 milliseconds base is for the transport, assuming that there is no pipelining, but in this case I think there would be pipelining.
Mm-hmm.
So that it's not 1.7 milliseconds for the latency of writing to flash, but that also includes some latency of transport.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So this is in an overestimate.
which this 800 microseconds, in fact, is not including data bus transfer from the controller into the lane.
Correct.
Yeah. Which we estimated to be like 100 microseconds extra per page.
So that would be 1200 then.
1200
microseconds. So it's certainly very close to this configuration.
Mm-hmm.
Probably this is what may be happening. Interestingly, in this steady state, there is no erase latency. So we do not pay for any erase latency. But the other interesting thing is that the physical block is only 16 kilobytes, which is atypical because you probably want larger physical blocks than so to amortize the cost of the erase operation.
Right. Well, here 16. I think that I didn't actually mean the block size.
Yeah.
I mean the block size we know is 256.
The physical
block size, the erase unit. But I mean, if we think that this is correct, it's only that we're writing partially into a lock block or data block.
Hmm. So it could be very well that this 2 megabytes is not the logical block size.
It's what we call the full stripe size, assuming this scheme of data placement in the device.
But the full block size, full stripe size should be much smaller, right? Because
we have already repeated. Yeah,
yeah, we've already repeated 4 times.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it could be that 2 megabytes is not the logical block size. And the observation that the highest point is equivalent to the logical block size may be flawed.
Mm-hmm.
It could be that the highest point is achieved because of the limitations of some other components inside the system, such as like the serial ATA bandwidth or something like that. So Lewis, one thing which we should probably do ASAP is to determine which serial ATA controller we are using and the bandwidth restrictions of that, and if needed we should purchase a better serial ATA controller, because our results may not be accurately reflect what's going on inside the flash.
Okay.
Might be that with a different serial ATA controller you see a different curve.
Mm-hmm.
So we should eliminate that possibility.
Okay. Yeah, I'm trying to check because this is 2 megabytes, right? And you're saying that if that is true, then the full stripe size should be 4, or 2 megabytes by the way, 4, which is 512K.
Divide by, yeah,
right.
That's right.
So I was taking a look through the other graphs we have with the read.
Mm-hmm.
The read says that the full stripe size is 1 megabyte. So that doesn't match. Quite a bit.
That's true.
So we have the 2 block sizes then.
But the interesting thing,
okay,
you can see is that they're both at 120 megabytes per second.
Yeah.
So it could be that if you are limited by something else, and if you go to 2 megabytes you can get higher bandwidth provided the bottleneck is eliminated.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at the bandwidth here and here,
yeah,
that could be the issue.
I will check then the console. Oh, no.
And if it's indeed the case, then we should place the order ASAP.
Mm-hmm.
So let me know.
can we look at the other graphs that you have,
numbers
that you have with the rate?
Let's show you the number. I don't have the plot, but I have the number for now. So, rate.
Somehow it seems like we're not doing any rail operations. Maybe we are, but it's efficient because it's in parallel or something like that.
Yeah, the thing is that if you are, I mean, if you can parallelize 16, let's say 16, I think it's more than that, but if you can parallelize 16 erase at the same time, the block erase at the same time, then you are hiding really well
the erase latency.
The erase latency, right?
Yeah, that's a good point.
So, okay, so these are the numbers. So, this is the first. This first file is this is the number of requests per second. Okay, you see here, and this is the average response time, or per request average response time in milliseconds. So in the case of Memory, you can see those. Stay more or less the same.
How much did you write?
For each one, I wrote 5,000 requests. Because the problem was that if you see that if it's one request per second, then 5,000 will take, or 10,000 or more will take. You can also vary that depending on the ratio.
So I'm just trying to compute how much data that would be. 5,000 times 4K.
Yeah, that's not much.
2 megabytes, 20 megabytes.
20
megabytes.
40 megabytes.
You can probably eliminate that one per second. You can maybe start with 50 per second or something like that.
Okay.
And then go higher.
Okay.
Can you go higher than 1024 per second?
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't go, actually, I stopped in 1024 because based on the other experiment, I found that more than 1024 is, the device cannot handle more quickly than
yeah. So you cannot really dispatch more than 1024.
So that's why I stopped there.
Okay. Yeah, but maybe you can start with 32 and go on till 1024,
but
much
with
longer.
A higher. Okay. Yeah. So.
So the 20 times 32 will be 600 megabytes. It's still. 5,000. How many did you say? 20 megabytes.
20 megabytes. Yeah.
Times 32 would be. Still 600 megabytes. Not much. So maybe you can start from even higher. Start at 256 and then go on to 1024.
Right.
Well, just play with that, because I think the key thing here is that you want to ensure that there is an opportunity for cleaning. Right.
Mm-hmm.
If during the experiment you write very small amount of data, then this experiment does not have any value. Right.
Yeah, but you see that if I start higher, for instance, in this case, we will lose these. You see that in the Samsung disk, you have a jump from 0.2 to 8.4.
Right, so for each disk, you have to be selective in how you do it. It seems like, so this is 10 milliseconds? 10 milliseconds? Okay. You probably want to somehow adapt the amount of data that you write.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you can keep the data that you write the same. No. How can you do this without? So in each case, you kept the data constant, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can also change that and make
same amount of time.
Exactly.
So I think just play with these because, but you understand the concern here, right? That if you write small amount of data, then you may not engage cleaning, and that is really what we want to see with this experiment. Does the cleaning get completely masked if we issue low rate IOs?
Yeah.
So the latencies do not get affected at all because they are well separated out and the cleaning can occur in the background with no impact to the foreground.
Yeah, what about increasing the request size?
I guess you could do that also. Yeah, you can increase the request size.
Okay.
Yeah, so you can vary these parameters. Maybe request size is the easiest one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And these are random or sequential?
These are random.
Random.
It's a random word space, equal space.
Oh, equally spaced. Okay.
So now, if I'm saying one request per second, one request each second.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But not equally spaced in the LBA, right?
No, equally spaced in the LBA.
Completely random. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's good. Yeah, so try some variations of this. See what we get.
Yeah, the other thing I want to discuss is what are we doing, with all this work? Are we coming too fast or something else?
I think when we are at a state where we can answer some reasonable questions beyond what is already out there, I think we should talk about that.
Okay.
So maybe one thing which you can do is look at or recap all the work on all the experiments
mm-hmm.
that you have done and list a set of things that we can claim for novelty. And I think based on how much we have to make a decision.
Mm-hmm.
Each of these experiments can be used for different things.
Right.
And one experiment can possibly use for more than one thing.
Right.
So
because I was thinking that we have like three possibilities, right? Or I don't know, probably the combination of them or one choice per path. So one thing we can do is I think that was the first thing we tried to do was to well, now that we have the internal and we know how to find the internal characteristics of the SSD, like the page size or block size, then we can probably actually we were doing with earlier, right? It's to trying to find how is the mapping for more internal logic inside the SSD. That could be one paper. The other thing is that we can also try to model I have been doing so far is trying to model or try to come up with a model to predict the response times of the SSDs in different scenarios, right? That's another one, and the third one, which is probably the one you were talking about, is to just give interesting experiments that probably show some internal insights of the SSD.
That's one possibility, but that's not exactly what I meant. What I meant by making a list of all the things, all the experiments that you have done,
right.
But derived from those experiments, well, can we use it for, what can we use it for? Can we use it for modeling? Or can we use it for something else? Or can we just show this experiment and to show some interesting stuff? I think once we make a list of all the experiments and all the observations, then and potential ways in which we can use it,
then we can maybe have some structure or some idea for what this paper could contain.
Okay.
Or maybe there is more than one paper there.
Mm-hmm.
So I think now is probably a good, as good time as any to list all the experiments that you have done,
mm-hmm.
with the graphs in there. And if we need to repeat any experiments because we did not do enough volume of data writes or whatever it may be, or we did not have enough trials, it would also be good to revisit the experiment. But the key would be, for each experiment, you would need some sort of follow-up in terms of what are the observations and how we can use it. I think it's a little bit of work that requires you to sort of go back and revisit a lot of things that you've done in the past. But I think without doing that, we would probably not be utilizing all the efforts that we have put in the past. It might be a good idea for you just to put everything in the paper itself, so that, or in some, in a different draft, say experiments. You can create a draft of experiments and interpretations and you.
Okay.
I think that might be a good start for us to put together a paper. And SPCA is something that we discussed before, July 31st. And modeling characterization of SSDs is appropriate for HPCA, also as plots, which is August 10th, and FAS, which is September 10th. So we have all these deadlines that are coming up that we can potentially investigate. But thing is that if we send to HPCA or as plots, then it's probably going to be better, because we probably send a whole bunch of papers to FAS this year. There are already 4 papers at this point. And if there are more, then maybe the quality of each paper is not going to be as good.
Okay.
So those are things that we have to worry about. How to time and choose the place based on the how busy we are. The other thing to also consider is HPCA is probably easier to get in than ASPLA.
Mm-hmm.
And FAS, this may be harder than HPCA, but easier than ASPLA. So these are the kinds of things to consider as well. But our choice of how easy or how hard will depend on the novelty of the paper itself. I think, which at this point, it's not so great. But perhaps once we reorganize everything and revisit all the experiments, something new will come out and we can make use of it. So have you thought about how to go towards the modeling angle, if it is possible to,
no,
to do these sub-models or to be, to have some sort of multiple models?
No, actually, I didn't think about that.
So when you revisit the experiments, also think about these questions.
Okay.
We have a wiki page, but I think that's outdated, right?
Yeah.
We don't have that, the new experiments anymore. And also, furthermore, the wiki page only has graphs. It doesn't have, for instance, the observations, what we can observe, how we can use them. I think those sorts of write-up and discussion will be more important for the for this new version that I'm telling you. And let's say, even if we, for some reason, we are not able to get it published, we can always make a technical report. And if the technical report is well done, it's somewhat like a publication. And people can refer to it, because we are not completely going to replicate what the others that have been published.
Mm-hmm.
So there will be new material in it, and people might actually refer. But our goal, of course, should be to get it published in something more well recognized.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so maybe you can slowly start putting together this. We can target perhaps the next 2 weeks to come up with this document. Mm-hmm. And then we'll have 1 month for the HPCA deadline, or at least 4 weeks for the HPCA deadline, so we can look at all of this stuff and figure out what to do.
Okay.
All right, so I guess we can meet on Thursday, or on next Monday, depending on what you think is appropriate. Maybe meeting on Thursday would still be a good
okay. So what are we discussing on Thursday?
I think we can discuss the experiments that you need to do with larger
okay.
request sizes and for both cases, right? For the sequential wise. And maybe you can start putting together just a list of experiments. And then we can look at those, you know, without the discussions, just the graphs. Maybe we can look at those, capture some thoughts and ideas, then you can incorporate those into the writing.
Okay.
We want to start thinking about the sub-modules as well, the different classes and models. If there is a way to, for instance, if we know that there is no logging mechanism, then how do we create a write model? If there is a logging mechanism, then how does it look like? For different, maybe different types of cleaning, what the model looks like. Do we want to start talking about that at this point, or maybe later on? Or do you,
I don't know. We can do that on Thursday.
Maybe we should wait for Jason to come back, and then we can, and maybe we can look at some of these right. Maybe you can start putting together the right experiments first, so that we can
okay.
come up with these models, and then we can go to the leads. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So what time should we meet? Thursday, same time, 11 a.m.
Okay.
Is that good?
Yes, sir.
Okay.